This program is pretty much biased. You already know that I'm going to talk about things that are natural, that have next to no chance of being toxic. Sometimes people will ask me a question, you know, if I take this nutritional remedy, will it cause me to have a major problem? And the answer is almost always no. Now, I did not say that you can't have side effects. There are some people that are extremely sensitive to drugs and to certain nutrients and herbal remedies that come from nature, and you have to be mindful of that. But I came across, who's ever heard of ginseng before? Usually the topic ginseng comes up when a person's been a little bit stressed, a little bit run down, and they feel like they've lost a lot of their energy. Their body doesn't work near as well as what it used to. And, you know, people remember that. They think back, you know, 5 years ago, I could get up and go and do whatever I want. Now, I want to sit in a chair and sleep all day long. Well, obviously, something within your body is not right. That's got to be one of the most dangerous things that I see as a physician, is that when a person passes through the point of being very strong, and now they're very feeble, it is so hard to recover from that. What you got to do is, the moment that your body tells you that you're not producing energy, you're supposed to take steps to correct that. And there's a lot of things you can do, but you don't want to get to the point, folks, where you're so feeble that you can barely lift yourself out of a chair. I mean, you know what I'm saying is true. If you have a family member or a loved one, it's extremely hard for them to getting out of a vehicle or getting into a vehicle. And you watch them pushing a shopping cart at this grocery store, and they just can barely shuffle along with very short, choppy steps. Because if they took a normal size step, they'd probably lose their balance and fall over because they've lost their strength. Well, wouldn't you agree with me that having energy is part of life, and you got to have energy? So the question is, what do we do to restore energy when it's been lost? Someone's calling. We'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have type 2 diabetes, and a little over a year ago, you told me to take Gymnema.
Yes, ma'am.
And so it has worked wonderfully.
Oh,
and,
good.
But my numbers are going up a little, and for the last week, I was diagnosed with gingivitis, and so I'm taking amoxicillin, and my numbers have gone up. Will the amoxicillin make the numbers go up? I mean, like this morning, it was 137.
Well, let me give you a different idea.
Okay.
You have heard before of a type of a cell that's in your body in the immune system called a white blood cell, right?
Yes.
Okay. One of the reasons why they're called white blood cells is because they just they don't look red like a red blood cell because they don't have iron, but they have kind of a white look to them when you look at them under a microscope. But to me, it's very interesting what they carry around. And this is the first line of defense that your body has against gingivitis. And so there's a type of bacteria called Streptococcus mutans, and the other one I think is called Streptococcus viridians. If I pronounce that wrong, I think it's Streptococcus viridian. Anyway, I know that was probably a waste of time for me to even bring that up, but your white blood cells, they carry these small granulated packets of oxygen combined with water. And I mean, they make the stuff. This is God's plan. And when your white blood cells combine oxygen with water, what you get is a substance called, instead of it being H2O, it's called H2O2. Sometimes it's called hydrogen peroxide. You ever heard that before?
I have.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you've heard of that. And so when there's gingivitis, if your white blood cells can release hydrogen peroxide, that will totally knock out the Streptococcus mutans and the Streptococcus viridians. and the gingivitis will go away. So anytime that you have even a low-grade infection at the gum line, that's very famous for causing your blood sugar to go up. So the Gymnema worked wonderfully, but the number one cause of death prior to modern times was always infection, infection, infection. Uh-huh. This is where people died of pneumonia, and there was like no hope for it before penicillin. So if your white blood cells need hydrogen peroxide to fight the gingivitis to help lower your hemoglobin A1C and your blood sugar, what is it that you're supposed to do as a young lady trying to help yourself? Well, one thing that you can do is take vitamin C. Vitamin C, when it's taken orally, has been shown to help your body produce more natural hydrogen peroxide.
Well, I take it every day.
Good, don't stop. Well, here's the other thing that can be done.
Okay.
If you said, you know what, I don't know if I can believe this stuff. Hydrogen peroxide sounds really nutty and crazy. I don't know if I should do that. Well, if you start looking up studies, you'll find out real quick that back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s and 50s, before the time that modern medicine pharmaceuticals ruled the world, people would just take a little bit of 3% hydrogen peroxide and put on their toothbrush, preferably a soft toothbrush, and they would just gently use that to massage their gums. Now, I'm not trying to be overly crude, you know, first thing in the morning, but you know what happens if you have an infection on the skin and pus is coming out or it's red and inflamed. What would happen if you poured hydrogen peroxide on top of that?
You get foamy stuff.
You ain't kidding. That's all oxygen right there. So this is an oxygen therapy. And so the worst infections that occur in the world today, they send the ones that don't respond to antibiotics, they usually put them in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, because infections go away when you add oxygen to them. I could probably say the same for cancer, too. Cancer, by and large, doesn't like high amounts of oxygen. And so if you were to just pretend that I know what I'm talking about here, if you were to maybe put some 3% hydrogen peroxide on a toothbrush and just gently massage your gums, see what happens.
Okay, well, see, I have a liquid hydrogen peroxide, and I was just squirting some in my mouth and rinsing it around. And
I think that's smart. Do you think it's helping?
Well, the doctor said you have to be careful about that. I mean,
What does he mean, be careful about that? He didn't elaborate at all, did he?
Well, he did some, but he really suggested the salt water rinse. But anyway, I still do the peroxide some, but I brush my teeth after that.
I really don't think, you have to be careful. It's just water and oxygen.
Well, he was concerned about the peroxide, you know, I think in the mouth.
Why?
I don't either.
I can't figure that one out.
I still do it some, but...
I really don't. I mean, you can take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt. I don't understand that comment. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, so why is my blood sugar... My blood sugar doesn't have anything to do with the amoxicillin?
Well, here's what I would suggest to you.
Okay.
Any time that you have any type of infection in the body, and gingivitis is an infection, it's just of the gums. But this is one of the most, all infections should be treated seriously, but I would say if a person had a slight toenail fungus for their pinky toe, that's really not on the same level, not on the same playing field as far as being serious and diabolical to the body as gingivitis, because when you have gingivitis, these bacteria called Streptococcus, they get into your bloodstream, they generate inflammation, they're hard on the heart, they're hard on the kidneys, and so this is the route of entry into the body through the inflamed gum. So gingivitis and tooth and gum disease, that's serious business because that goes all throughout the body. So when you have an infection, your blood sugar is going to go up as a consequence.
Okay.
If we can get rid of the infection, then you won't need to take amoxicillin. We actually want your living, breathing immune system to do the job it's designed to do by God, which is to heal and repair itself, right?
Right. Well, you know, I'm only taking the amoxicillin for a week. You know, I'm almost through with that. But
You know what a lady told me the other day? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, a lady sent me an email the other day, and she was she came kind of piqued her interest. And she said, "What the title of the article has to do with bacteria that are becoming antibiotic resistant. And what I'm going to tell you is the type of bacteria that causes gingivitis, it's very, very clever. The moment you give it, the moment you put amoxicillin in contact with these bacteria that, you know, infect the mouth and the gums and the roots and all that stuff, they start forming this slimy little cave called a biofilm. And they'll just dive right into it and say, hey, we're going to wait till the coast is clear. And once the antibiotics are gone, we'll creep back out like a month or so later, maybe 2 months later. But they also, Streptococcus has a very interesting type of a mechanism called a sump pump. I'm just kind of making it up. It's like a, you know what a sump pump would be if water gets in the basement or there's like a septic tank, you could pump all the gunk out of it. But these bacteria, they have sump pumps. And so when the antibiotics go into them, like amoxicillin, they can just turn around and pump the stuff right back out into the body. And so when these bacteria, they're real clever. So when they pump that amoxicillin back in the body, I mean, the net result is your blood sugar starts to go up. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard this before, but they've done studies and they show that when people take diuretics for blood pressure, that's been shown to contribute to diabetes. Do you by chance take diuretics?
No, I don't.
Okay. The other drug that's very, very famous for causing diabetes in people that don't have it are cholesterol-lowering drugs. They're called statins. And the latest study that I read showed that if somebody takes a statin drug and they don't have diabetes, well, they're going to have it in 7 years. And you're probably thinking to me, well, I can't even think 7 days down the road, let alone 7 years. But I tell you what, if you take these statin drugs, I know that they think cholesterol is bad and evil. It's not true at all. I mean, that's my opinion, but I think it's based on reading the medical evidence and the research.
Yeah.
And so well, do you I take do. Statin drugs at all?
Yes, I do. See, I'm 77 years old, so I've had, you know, lots of different things. So.
Well, I believe you, and I'm not trying to jump you on the topic, but I'm just saying, if you want to have lack of energy and you want to have diabetes, that's one way of doing it. So I'm not trying to jump you and be critical, but if you want to take a drug that causes your body to dive into type 2 diabetes, the statin drug will do it.
Now, okay, well, I've been fortunate because it was like when I was diagnosed, it's like I barely have type 1. And so since I've been taking Gymnema, I've not had any, you know, I think it's been really under control. And I just...
Well, is there any possibility that you didn't have diabetes prior to taking statin drugs?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess.
I know, I guess. this is crazy what I'm telling you, but I'm telling you the honest to gospel truth. It takes an average of 7 years of taking a statin before a person usually has a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes.
And so what's the alternative to taking the statin?
Well, let me say it this way. I'm going to go back to what I said a while ago.
Okay.
The molecule called hydrogen peroxide. The molecule called hydrogen peroxide, that's called H2O2. It is completely required, essential to life by every cell in your body to process sugar, to process protein, and to process fat. And see, that's a mechanism by which your body converts food that you eat into energy. And see, without energy, you can't keep everything in good working order.
Yeah.
And so you've got to have hydrogen peroxide. And guess what hydrogen peroxide works with in order to make your body produce energy? It's called coenzyme Q10. Have you ever heard of
I take that too.
Okay. And no, that's good. Because what happens is when you take an HMG co-reductase inhibitor, which is called a statin drug, you block the ability of your cells to produce, synthesize, manufacture, assimilate, utilize coenzyme Q10. So I think this is a whole lot more simplistic than what they've made. They've made a very complex narrative. You know what I read this week?
No.
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. That's kind of a setup question. All I want you to do is just consider this for just a moment. I was, you know, if there was a person that was, you know, God forbid, they were involved in just a horrific car wreck where their car caught on fire and they had burns all over their body. So where would a person be taken to here in Texas if they had like 50% of their body had third and fourth degree burns? They'd go to Parkland Hospital, where they have this just amazing burn care center. Now, at Parkland, I'm going to give you two choices. Do they put them on a high cholesterol diet, or do they put them on a vegan diet when they get there?
Cholesterol.
That's right. And the point that I'm making is you cannot rejuvenate the cells of the body or regenerate new cells without cholesterol. I am convinced that cholesterol is maybe one of the greatest repair molecules and rejuvenators of the body, but the problem is medicine doesn't see it that way. They treat cholesterol as if it's wicked and evil. And if you block cholesterol, you prevent the body from rejuvenating itself. Now, you know that you and I are going to punch our ticket one day. Okay, I'm 55.
Okay.
We're moving toward leaving this world as fast as possible, aren't we?
Right. We are.
Could anybody in the radio audience raise both hands if they think they're not going to die? Ain't no hands going to go up. It ain't going to happen. We're all, unless the Lord himself comes again.
Which could be today. Okay.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, you have my agreement. Only the Father knows. But Lord willing, if we make it through the day today, it'll be by His will. Somebody's going to die on this planet. It's just the way it is. And so all I'm thinking of is, how can we help you age gracefully and be in the best working order? And so I'm just suggesting strongly. I know I'm turning your world upside down, and you ask me what can be done. Well, let me propose a study to you. There's a study called the Hope Study. It came out of Hawaii. I think that's our former president's home state. But to make a long story short, they showed when people were age 75 and above, if their total cholesterol was 275 or above, they lived longer than anybody else with cholesterol lower than that. You just got to wrap your mind around that cholesterol is there to repair. It's like the most amazing repairer. I know I sound like a broken record, but the highest cholesterol food on earth is mother's breast milk. But babies got to have that if they want to develop a nervous system and a brain and make sure their skin is perfect and all their organs are strong. You can't do it without cholesterol. We already know what happens when you try to give kids, you know, a non-cholesterol-based formula. They get sick and die. So this is the answer to your question, but I'm not saying it the way that probably everybody wants me to say it. The healthier that your body is, the less you have to be concerned about cholesterol. So if somebody has 50% of their body burnt to a crisp and they want to make sure that skin heals, they got to give them a whole bunch of eggs every day. No way around it. They can't just give them a salad. I wish it was that simple. And so when you take a drug to lower cholesterol, basically you're blocking the ability of your body to heal and repair itself. Oh, I know. I can guarantee you. This is not just you or 100 other people listening. Probably every physician that prescribes these drugs is just like rolling their head going, that is not what I tell my patients all day long. I tell them that you got to be on a statin drug. But you know what's going to happen? Just about all those people are going to develop diabetes. And that is a game changer. That's going to bring our nation's healthcare system to its knees. I know that because I read the studies on India. India, you know, the country of India, they have 63% of all the diabetics in the entire world, and their healthcare system is crashing because once you have your toes and your feet and, you know, you go blind and you have amputations, you can't work. And if you can't work, you're on the welfare system. I'm all for welfare. But welfare is just unsustainable when you have all the world's cases of diabetes in one country. You can't be productive and work. So what do we do to make you have energy production? It takes energy. I've already mentioned that hydrogen peroxide. Am I entitled to disagree with
Yes, you are.
Okay, all right. I think if you would stick with hydrogen peroxide on your gums, that they're going to heal. I have people come to see me all the time, and their mouth is full of canker sores and ulcers. Guess what heals them faster than anything? Hydrogen peroxide. I sound like a broken record, don't I?
Yeah, but you know, if you've been there, you know, you've seen that. So.
Well, I mean, I don't really have to be that brilliant. I'm just making observations. I usually, here's how smart I am. Sir, how long did it take those ulcers to go away? Oh, 3 days. Okay, and you say with Listerine, they've been there for 3 months and not going away? Gotcha. Which, Listerine may be more like a dessert beverage than it would be. If you had, like, you know, fungus on your scalp or something, maybe we could put some Listerine on that. That'd be fine. Anyway, so here's what I'm going to recommend to you.
Okay.
If I could convince you, the one dietary strategy that seems to work better than any other is just eating 2 meals a day. I realize that no one else is going to tell you this, but I'm into telling the truth as much as possible because of what works. And if you said, I am going to set my mind like flint to skip 1 meal a day, because what will happen is, if you don't eat breakfast in the morning when you wake up, your body's going to start eating you, which is what you want it to do. But it only removes any, it'll eat and remove anything that doesn't belong, like excess fat or waste or deranged altered proteins. And see, this is a strategy that will cause your blood, and so instead of eating, digesting a meal, your body will say, oh my goodness, she must want us to go after that gingivitis and clear up that infection. So if you do that, I think you'll start to see a difference. The other thing is, you've got to increase, with gingivitis, you've got to walk every day to increase the blood flow. It doesn't take any type of elaborate exercise like going to a gymnasium and doing CrossFit or HIIT or Tabata or any type of, you know, outrageous exercise. You're 77. Just walking is all it takes.
Yeah, I also ride a stationary bicycle when it's not
convenient
outside. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, you're such a good girl. I think you're doing great.
Well, I do work at it.
You do, and you're doing fine. We just need to tweak it just a little bit. Now, the other thing is, you have to understand that there's a mineral that's the cornerstone of your immune system called zinc. Zinc and vitamin C are almost always in very short supply or very low when there's diabetes and infection. So you just give the body the very thing that it needs. It's got to have vitamin C to fight infection. I mean, that's what all the old doctors used to talk about back in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. As long as you give the body zinc and vitamin C, it can rise to the occasion and deal with the infection. Because when a woman is low in zinc, she's either going to do one of two things or both. Crave sugar, crave salty food, or both.
Okay, well, I really don't crave either one. I just...
But you need zinc if you have gingivitis. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to say. Because what will happen is when you add amoxicillin without zinc, your blood sugar is going to shoot up. And I know that you want the numbers to look good, but I'm into healing and repair. God has designed your body to heal itself if we give it a chance.
Okay, so I should just take zinc every day?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, one thing I was wondering was, should I take more than just one Gymnema a day? But
is that all you're taking is one?
Yes.
I can't believe you've done as well as you've done. This is amazing. Yes, ma'am, I do believe so. And there's several ways to do it. And what you might try is you might try taking one capsule before each meal. So we're going to be radical this morning. We're going to double your dose of Gymnema, if you will.
Okay.
You know what? In the real world, you'll be able to tell me real quick how it works, won't you?
Yeah, well, my Gymnema's already, not my Gymnema, but my gingivitis is already better, but I just, you know, since my blood sugar was going up, and you say skip breakfast, but for breakfast I eat oatmeal cooked in milk and a banana and a glass of milk, and that's every day I eat breakfast.
Well, that may be part of it, and again, I'm not trying to be critical, but milk contains what's called insulin growth factor alpha, and that almost always makes blood sugar go up.
Okay, well, I was afraid of that. I don't drink a lot of milk, but...
You know, one thing that I would just consider doing is if you push that back toward lunchtime and just had, like, the oatmeal with blueberries maybe and 2 eggs, I think that would be one way that we could get more cholesterol into you. Oh, wait, did I just make a blunder? No, I really meant that.
No.
If you, but just consider that. And I realize that's what you're doing, but just kind of keep an open mind. if you put it to the test for a few days and all of a sudden it gets better, you can say, what did I do to make it better? You can do it. All these things are doable. Okay. I mean, in the big scheme of things, you're probably, you know, during the day you think, okay, what can I do to serve God? How can I help other people? I'm getting ready to go to church tomorrow. I want to have more energy. What do I do? Well, you've got to address some of these things because, Lord willing, you'll be able to be in great working order for a long time to come. You're just 77.
That's right.
You know,
I'm
that,
10 too.
Do you know that Bible passage? I think it says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment.
I've heard it, yeah.
Okay. I think it's in Hebrews. I might need to look up where that is. I've forgotten. But, I mean, we're going to die. I just don't want you to be sick. I want you to be radiant and beautiful and healthy and strong. That's not a crime, is it?
No. Sounds good to me.
Okay, great.
My husband would love it, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Good. Well, let me know how these things work out, and I'll let you decide the rest of them, what you can do and what you can't do.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call, ma'am. Have a good day.
Okay. You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, there's the phone line once again open, 903-586-5257 is the phone number here at the radio station in case you want to call and ask me a question. I know this has got to sound so radical, what I'm telling you, that cholesterol is not the evil villain that it's made out to be. It's a repair molecule. So if cholesterol is elevated, maybe we should ask the question, what exactly is my body trying to repair? All right. Good morning. Thank you very much for your phone call. How can I help you? Uh-oh. They hung up. Or I lost a connection. They didn't hang up. That happens. I drop phone calls all the time on my cell phone. Okay. Did I get that time? I lost it again. All right. If you want to try it one more time. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Okay, do I have a phone call now?
Yes.
Oh, good. I got you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband, last Sunday, we had to go to the emergency room with extreme pain and kidney stone.
Oh, yes, dear.
Yeah, kidney stone, and they took a CT, and it was 6 millimeters.
Yeah, they like taking, they like doing CAT scans of kidney stones. They do.
They do. Well, and so extreme pain, so we have pain meds and all kinds of stuff. And it's been a week, and we haven't passed anything, and he is has been constipated all week. So it's been a week.
Those are called opioids.
Yes. But we're just kind of, I know we need to deal with that. With the constipation, that's a big deal. But he's been drinking water, not eating a whole lot, just a little. But
I don't know if I can tell you this legally, so I'm going to tell you not to do this, okay?
Okay.
There is an herb called, no, I can tell you this part, but the second part, I don't know that I can say that, so I'm going to tell you specifically not to do it.
Okay.
Okay. So there is a herb called gravel root.
I could gravel.
Gravel, yeah.
Okay.
You know what gravel is?
Yes.
It's about 6 millimeters in diameter. It's called calcium oxalate. He's got gravel.
Okay.
All right. The herb called gravel root. So there's a whole bunch that we can use. We can use gravel root. Some supportive herbs that help would be marshmallow and hydrangea. And those are the simple ones right there. But gravel root is always my first choice because it helps dissolve kidney stones. Listen, sister, I know. You're going to have a urologist listen to me talking right now and say, is this guy nuts? That's medically impossible. That can't ever be done. I've never heard of that before. We got to do more CAT scans, and I think we should do one more CAT scan and measure it one more time. That doesn't do anything to change anything.
Oh,
he's got a stone. It's shaped like a big honking grass burr that he swallowed into his kidney. And my question is, now what are we going to do about that? So
right.
If we start giving him gravel root, I'd probably give him like, I'm just telling you what I would do if it were me, so this may not be like a real suggestion, but if I was doubled over in pain this very second, I would say, okay, what are my options here? What am I going to do? I'm
right.
going to tell you what I'm doing, but I'm not telling him to do this because
right.
they might freak out over these suggestions. I don't freak out over these things. This is what I would do. I would say, okay, what is my play here, Roy? What am I going to do to help this? Okay, let's see what I can do. All right. I'm going to get a bottle of liquid gravel root. I'm not going to use the dried herb. I'm going to go straight to the liquid because it's going to be faster acting. It's going to be more potent. It's going to work. It's going to come closer to doing everything that your husband has been wanting for a full week now.
Right.
So I might take one dropper full, which might end up being, I don't know, 60 to 70 drops in a glass of, you could use dandelion root tea if you want to, or you could use, I would use rose hips tea. Rose hips is my go-to when there's like something in the urinary tract or the kidney or the ureter. And I'd probably take a dose of this stuff every 15 minutes if I was in acute pain. Now, the next thing that I would do if it were me, which I'm telling you, do not do this under any circumstances without your urologist giving you the two thumbs up, the green light, the go-ahead, his blessing. Don't do it.
Okay.
But what I would do is I would take two big honking scoops of Epsom salt. Make sure you get the kind that doesn't have, like, essential oil of lavender or rosemary. I mean, those things smell great, but I don't want to drink those scents and those scents. Anyway, but if you will, take two big honking scoops of Epsom salt. And because it's a very, very bitter substance, it's known as magnesium sulfate, so you already know. I mean, have you ever read in the Bible about the burning lake of sulfur?
Yes.
That's not going to smell too good, is it?
No.
I mean, you've had hair burn before, and you smelled, oh my goodness, that smells gross. But that's sulfur right there. So if you use two big honking tablespoons or big spoonfuls of Epsom salt, this is the one time that I might use a ginger ale. Now, ginger to me is very, very valuable as an herb or spice because it's good at moving stuff out of the body. And so one day this week, I think I was laughed at by a certain individual. I won't name their name, but I ran a whole root of ginger through the juicer and drank it. Yeah, that's pretty potent. Stuff is going to move from inside where it's stuck. It's going to move outside. I'll just leave it that way. But if you take those two heaping tablespoons, or if I took them and stirred them into a ginger ale, it's going to take a little bit of work to get that to dissolve and kind of, work into the solution. But if you drink that down pretty quick, it doesn't have to be like just chug it all down. What that would do to me is that would cause my liver and gallbladder and bile ducts and all that stuff in the kidney would open up so that grass burr can start rolling out of him. Yes, it's going to poke him in the ureter all the way out. It's just the way it is. But with the Epsom salt, I would move those stones out of my body pretty quick. Uh-oh, I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I said that ginger ale is like a lot of sugar, right?
Yeah, but I would rather do that than vomit.
Well, this is true.
That's I'm not worried about the sugar at this point. If we take a ginger ale, that may be, I mean, you don't have to use ginger ale, but because of the ginger, I think that helps open everything up so it can drain.
Okay.
How would you like to have a big honking abscess in a tooth, but it'll never drain? Of course not. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
How'd you like to have a nose that's totally clogged up with green stuff that's growing in there called an infection? No. You want it to come out, so a stone's the same way. It's got to come out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where if you get pretty aggressive with gravel root. I've had people come to see me so many times, it's like old hat to me. that I say you got to be careful. If you take too much gravel root, the stones will come out too fast, and they're probably thinking, yeah, this guy does not know what he's talking about. It ain't coming out fast. And they'll call me the next day and say, oh, my goodness, I just passed 7 stones. I'm going,
wow.
Really? That's weird. I've never heard of that happening before. But so if you will just prayerfully consider the idea of Epsom salt, yes, he's going to be running to the bathroom, but I promise you, that is what you want. You want the stuff to come out of him, because a stone, you know, the old osteopathic doctors, I love osteopaths. I think they're brilliant. But the old osteopaths, they used to take, when somebody would donate their body to science, and they would use the, I'm sorry for saying this, I know it sounds horrible, but it's just the way it is. When you're trying to train a young doctor how the body works and what's the anatomy and where everything's located, they do human dissection in a laboratory setting. You know what I mean, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if a person passes away in the hospital and says, I love my osteopath, I want to donate my body to help train young medical doctors and students how to better help the suffering and pain of human beings on earth. And so when they open up a kidney and they find it full of a big 6-millimeter stone, they'll take a bandsaw and cut that sucker in half and find out what it's made of, but usually it's full of infection. So
right.
I've got to believe that stone's been there a long, 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 long time, but all of a sudden it's infected now and it's causing horrible symptoms and the body wants to push it out and get rid of it.
Right.
So that's where I would take gravel root every 15 minutes.
Okay.
Every 15 minutes. You got to get that stuff out. I mean, there's no benefit to... I mean, yeah, you can go back. He can go and have all the big doses of radiation on that kidney he wants. But it ain't going to change anything. It doesn't move the stone out. So the body is designed to push this stuff out if we give it a chance. And so... if you could do the big heaping tablespoons, pretend it's like gold dust, and you don't want to lose any of it. So if you will, scoop that up just very carefully. Tell your husband that, you know, this is pure love coming from his wife that adores him. Stir it up, and you just got to drink that stuff down. I mean, well, you tell me, what are his options? Is he going to go back and have a... he can go do whatever he wants. It's his body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you what I would do if it were me. But you got that stone's got to come out of him. Why don't we just pass it out?
That's right. We're concerned. And he doesn't like taking the meds, but sometimes it's just so excruciating.
Well if we get rid of the stone, his pain's over. He will have no more pain.
That's exactly right. Well, that's what we're looking for.
Okay, well, that's why I'm telling you these things that I would do if it were me. But I don't want you to do these things. So, if you will, just prayerfully consider these things and see if it proves to be really, really good.
Okay. I just really appreciate you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.
I'm so glad that you called me today. And be sure and tell your husband that I will be rooting for him today.
Okay, I will.
but there's no other option. It's got to come out.
It's got to come out.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this before you go.
Okay.
Today is Saturday, the 26th, right?
Yes.
How soon could he be at the urologist's office for them to do lithotripsy? Or go in there and cut it out?
Yeah, they couldn't even get him in for 2 weeks.
Okay, then. So we've got today, and we've got tomorrow. So if you do this, let's see if we can get all that to open up and just... But what the Epsom salt does is it helps take all those inflamed, constricted tissues of the body, and they will relax and open up for a short window. Maybe as long as 2 hours in some people, but I'm telling you, it's got to roll out of him.
Well, let me ask you this. If we do the Epsom salts and the ginger ale, how often would you do that? Just one time?
I had a man walk in my office, and he had the worst look on his face. I said, "Hey, Tom, how's it going?" He goes, "He wouldn't respond to me." I knew something was wrong, but he went to the bathroom, and he was in there for like 15 minutes. And when he came out, he had an even worse look on his face. I said, "Hey, are you okay?" And he goes out to his pickup and digs around the toolbox. And have you seen those tools where it looks like a long, flexible wand, but where you push the button on the end of it, out comes this little claw. Just think, I dropped a nut or a bolt down in my engine, and I can see it, but I just need about 12 more inches. But you would take this tool and push the button, it would look like this little bitty eagle's talon claw coming out, and you could grab the nut and release the button and grip it. And he's got that in his hand, and I said, "What are you doing with that?" And he said, "I'm getting a kidney stone." I said, "Where's the kidney stone?" Because I wasn't really sure where. And so he comes out, and what happened was he had passed it. He was trying to dig it. I'm going, "Oh my goodness." He passed it.
Yes.
And so that's the prize right there.
Okay, so
the more soft drinks that a human being drinks, the more kidney stones they have.
Right. And we haven't drank, we haven't drank sodas for just 10, 15 years because we just don't.
Good. And these stones that your husband has, they're made of what are called calcium oxalate or oxalic acid.
Mm-hmm.
So if he has a habit of eating potatoes all the time?
Yes.
That's oxalate.
Okay.
Does he eat spinach all the time?
No, not much. I eat the spinach. He doesn't eat the spinach.
Now, this is just my guess here. It's either potatoes or nuts or spinach. Which one does he eat?
Nuts.
So he needs to stop eating nuts and potatoes. He can eat sweet potatoes all day long.
Okay.
But there's some people, they form oxalate crystals. That's just the way it is.
Okay.
But they will form a 6-millimeter stone, but I'm telling you, that's not too big to pass.
Okay.
I've seen some big ones.
We're going to work at it really hard today.
All right.
Okay. Well, and he is, I just will say, he is 67, and this is his very first one.
Okay. It's probably been working for at least 7 or 8 years. It's been there a long time. It didn't form yesterday is what I'm saying.
No, right. So that I know that
is he normally pretty strong and vibrant?
He is.
Then he's gonna be able to push it out no problem. Now if you told me that he's a 67-year-old man that's extremely weak and feeble and he can barely get around the house and you've constantly got to keep him under a blanket because he's freezing, I'd say, okay, he might have to go to the urologist because he's just too weak. It takes energy and strength. So once he takes the Epsom salt, he's going to get up and start walking. That's got to move out.
Okay.
Really work that rose hips tea.
Okay.
Baking soda would probably be a good idea also.
In the what?
In anything he wants. Maybe a half a teaspoon a couple times a day just to kind of help flush those kidneys.
Okay.
I hope it works out really, really well.
I appreciate it so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for your phone call, and tell your husband I will be thinking of him today.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I know I was a little bit long on that, but I'm telling you, that's one of the few times that I see people in so much pain. It's just unbelievable. I feel real bad for them. I wouldn't wish a kidney stone on my enemy, unless my enemy's name was Satan. Maybe that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Did you get your radio completely turned off?
Yes.
Okay. How's it going?
Oh, pretty well, I suppose. Can you understand what I'm saying?
I can, yes.
Back in the year 2000, I was selling my 38-foot sailboat from Galveston to Tampa. And I got caught in 3 severe storms offshore for about 13 days and got pretty bounced around out there in the rigs and such. Well, when I finally made it back, I noticed that there was a little catch in my voice when I would try to speak. And then over the next 6 months, I totally lost my voice. I believe it's called spasmodic dysphonia. And my voice has been gone ever since. I was wondering if there's any type of treatment for that condition.
A human being is born with what are called five sets of tonsils. You've got the adenoids kind of up at the top of the, behind the roof of the mouth, but they're up above your throat, and you've got the palatine tonsils. Those are the big ones right there at the back of the throat. Usually you can see them if they're swollen. Then you have a tonsil that surrounds what's called the eustachian tube. And the eustachian tube, you know, it drains the ear. So if the eustachian tube's clogged up, a person has an ear infection. The other tonsil, which I don't know if I've ever seen one swollen because it's kind of inaccessible. It's called the lingual tonsil. It's right there at the base of the tongue. And then you have one tonsil that's just right there around the larynx or your vocal cords. And that's not easy to see, but if you were like an ENT, you could probably look down the throat and you could see that. So all I can do is tell you what I think. If you have some type of chronic inflammation around your vocal cords or some irritation, we want to ask the question why. And I can only imagine after hearing your story, it's incredible. If I had been at sea tossed around, I would like to see Jesus walking across the water and say, "Peace, be still," but that didn't happen. It's probably like a pretty fearful moment, pretty scary. But
well, it's fear by day and terror by night. When I got back to port, I couldn't even walk because of the, well, I guess because of the sea legs, and I was bruised from head to toe, and my skin peeled off for a couple of weeks. But my understanding of spasmodic dysphonia is there's something to do with the basal ganglia of the brain, which causes the larynx to spasm every time you speak.
And see, that's where you can only determine so much over the radio. You've got to actually examine a person. But what I would say is the basal root ganglia of the brain and your spinal cord, well, that's one of the things that you've got to figure out. Where is this coming from? And so that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier. Either it's originating totally, completely within the pharynx or the throat or the laryngeal tonsil or the larynx. You've got to pinpoint where it's coming from. As much as I can say this over and over again, that is a doctor's job, is to pinpoint where the problem's coming from. So if yours has nothing to do with the larynx or the vocal cords, and it's primarily based on the basal root ganglia dysfunction, you've got to identify that. Because if it's primary neurological, that means all the remedies that you apply topically, like soothing agents for your vocal cords, they may not work. And so after all these years, what has your doctor found? Is it the root cause of the problem?
Well, evidently the only cure for this situation is Botox injections to more or less denervate the nerve which supplies the vocal cords and to stop the spasm.
I know exactly what I would tell you to use if we were off the air, because there's one thing that's been shown to be helpful, but it's slightly illegal. It's natural, and it's very, very safe, but it's slightly illegal according to, I think it's a class one psychedelic substance. But when there's severe dysfunction of the basal root ganglia, this has been shown to be effective. I think hippies used to take this back in the 60s. It's not marijuana either.
Oh, magic mushrooms.
Well, I don't know if I should say yes or no, because that would probably give away exactly what I'm thinking. But yeah, the term is called microdosing.
But, oh.
And so what I'm going to have you do is, what I want you to do is, when you get off the phone with me, you're going to click on, well, I guess I'd call it YouTube. You ever heard of YouTube?
Yes, of course.
It's kind of a dumb question for me to ask. Sorry about that. Just because I can't work a computer doesn't mean everybody else can't. But so what you'll do is, you'll get on YouTube and you're going to type in 60 minutes Sunday, March. What am I saying March? I'm in October. Sorry. It was Sunday, March. Excuse me. I can't believe I said March twice. October the 13th. And so what you're going to do is you're going to type in 60 minutes, and I want you to watch that program on Magic Mushrooms, okay?
Okay.
I'm not telling you what to do or how to run your business, but you know what's easy for me to do? If I even just for a brief moment start to insert myself in your story, it's incredible. But I've got to, what would happen to me if I could not use my voice? I'm very sympathetic and empathetic to what you're going through. But we've got to identify where this is coming from. But you know,
I worked in the medical field for about 20 or 30 years, and then I did some other things, and I simply cannot communicate effectively with patients or over the phone or in an industrial setting, so I just more or less retired and just sort of get along.
I sure do want to help you, man.
Well,
watch that program, and let me know what you think about it. But if that piques your interest, all you can do is start looking up articles and reading them for yourself. Because ultimately, you know how it says in the, I think it's in the book of Hebrews, that faith is the evidence of that which is not yet seen or hadn't appeared yet. You're gonna have to move forward with faith, because if you've exhausted every avenue that medicine has to offer, and since you're in the medical profession, only you are entitled to make a comment if you think that you've gotten the appropriate medical treatment or if you're disappointed or something's lacking. But we've got to see if there's something that we can do to cause this tissue to heal, whether it's neurological or laryngeal or a tonsil or both. You know, I'm completely open to the idea. Maybe this is two or three different things.
Right.
And they all work against each other to promote healing.
Well, I'll certainly look at the video, and you have cultivated a very fine phone side manner, and I appreciate it.
Oh, you're so sweet to say that. Thank you, buddy.
I'm
also rooting for you, too. But I would like to see healing take place where you can regain your ability to speak the way that you used to formerly.
All right, Dr. Morgan, I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. That is a courageous man. There's no one that could call him a coward after what he's been through. That man is a fighter. Whoa. The number here at the radio station is 903-586-5257. There are approximately 6 minutes left, give or take. Okay, sorry. Sometimes I push on that button. It doesn't take quickly. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Let me turn off my... Okay. For the last month, I have had upper respiratory problems and everything, and they ended up doing a CT scan on me the other day, and they're looking to... They think it may be MAC, M-A-C, in the lung, down there in the bottom lobe.
What is MAC?
I really don't. I can't. I've looked at it and everything, and it doesn't look good. It's some kind of organism in the bottom of the lung that they can't get that stuff out. He's even said that maybe taking a scope down and taking a biopsy to see exactly what it is and sucking all the stuff out of the bottom that they could get.
Mac sounds like the name of an evil spirit that's living down there.
Yeah, amen.
I think we should drive it out. The good news is there's a herd of swine going right in front of the radio station. We should drive it out into that. That way they can jump off the cliff into the ocean.
You're going to get me to cough and hear me.
No, I'm sorry. I am horrible. Okay. All right. I will look up Mac after I get off the air this morning and find out what that is. I'm sorry. I didn't know what that was.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't
is that, is that just like an abbreviation for some type of a toxic bacteria?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. If it's not, anyway, I'll look it up. And that way, next time we talk, I can speak with more authority. Like I can say, hello, I've read the definition. Okay. Well, let's talk about what you can do, all right?
Okay.
All right. Now, I'm probably slightly... All right, I'm putting myself in your shoes and saying to myself, what would you do? Mm-hmm. I would take a pan of boiling water. I don't want you getting burned by the boiling water, but you know I want mm-hmm. the... My favorite is taking like a $10 steam kettle that's made of stainless steel,
mm-hmm.
putting water in it, and then I would put 1 cup of apple cider vinegar, and then I would add 1 heaping spoonful of a dry powder called thyme or thyme. It's a spice. You should know what that is because you're Italian anyway.
Yeah, okay.
So what you do is if you take a towel, put it over your head because you're trying to capture as much of the medicinal vapors as possible, and that's all I want you to do about 3 or 4 times a day. Is just stand. I mean, you have to stand maybe, sorry, that sounded horrible. I thought, what if she stands 1 inch away from the steam? It's going to burn her face in a split second. That's not what I want. I want you to breathe the steam deep into your lungs because what that'll do is that'll start to dissolve that mucus plug that bacteria is living in called a biofilm.
Okay.
Which means if you cough up anything that's green or yellow or gunky, you have got to spit that out. If you swallow it, I'll be so upset with you. You don't even know how mad I'll be at you. But you'll spit that, which you're a lady, which you're good at spitting, aren't you? No, I'm joking.
I'm getting better at it.
Well, out of necessity. And so if you will give yourself this steam breathing treatment with a cup of apple cider vinegar mixed in the water and a heaping spoonful of thyme or thyme, we'll see if we can't start to dissolve that and kick it out and get rid of it. Now, the herb that I'm thinking of right now, there's two. And I realize this is plant-based medicine. You're not going to get the pulmonologist to agree with you on this. I'm not worried about that. My allegiance is totally to you. It is called mullein. Mullein is what you need right now.
Uh-huh.
And there's another one called Chinese skullcap. I don't know why it's called skullcap, but it is.
Okay.
Of course, mullein, it's a pretty cool-looking plant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Mullein, let's just put it this way. The forest, that's the lungs of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
They make oxygen for us to breathe. And so
how often for all those?
You just as much as you can do. I want you to use your imagination.
Oh, okay.
Now, if this was back in 1985, I had a device in the clinic that I could use called a magnetherm. Mm-hmm. I'd put that magnetherm. See, my job would be, where is this located? I'd find out, is it in the left upper lobe? Is it the left lower lobe? Is it in the right one, the middle, or the lower? And that's easy.
In the right bottom one.
Oh, yeah. I knew that was where it was going to be. And so I'd put the magnetherm right over that. And it would send heat, magnetic heat waves to that lower lobe to break that gunk up so it could come out. Your other option is having someone that loves you cup their hands and beat the evil, yucky stuff out of you. So what you do is you've got to avoid any mucus-forming foods. Don't you dare eat any sugar or any dairy products. That's just going to cause that gunk to become fully entrenched. If I can convince you to consider a ketogenic diet, that will enable your body to scrub that lung clean.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've heard of that before. I would eat 2 meals a day. Now, if this were my fantasy world, I would have, a sauna right there where you get into a sauna where you cook this stuff out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You would be well done.
You need to find a sauna then, don't I?
Well, or you go someplace that has a sauna. Unfortunately, we're completely out of time. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Well,
but if you will, feel free to call me this next Saturday, and we'll pick it up where we left off.
Okie dokie. I appreciate it.
Do you think you can do these things?
Yeah, I'm going to work on it.
Okay,
real hard.
Good girl. I'm really proud of you. Let me know what the results are.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
God bless you. I'm rooting for you.